Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction.
The most strategic thing to know in any season is what God is doing in that season. It is not enough to have the consciousness that you are coming into a new season. It is not enough to even know that this is the Last Day Church. It is not enough to even know that we are in the era of revival. It is important we know what God is doing in era of revival.
He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Hallelujah. There will always be those people who are trying to understand what's going on. Why are they always shouting here? The shout of a king is amongst us. Hallelujah. All right, I don't know how we are going to do it, but I trust God to help, because there's no way we are going to treat this subject as just a Bible study. All right, so it means at intervals, and I'm sure you are ready, of course, we're going to have breaks to pray. Is that okay? All right, the good fight of faith. We set. I want you to please give me the scripture, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Let's start the reading from verse 10. It says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have heard from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, O woman of God, as the case may be, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Let me come again. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after, while coveted after, they have heard from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So as I begin to lay the foundation of this subject, I want to sound a warning. And the warning is this. Please look up. There are different kind of churches that have been built in the last days. And by that I mean no structure. I'm talking about people. And there are people who are built on many things, but not on the word. There are other people who are taught the word, but not lines upon lines, precept upon precept. So they cannot endure the thoroughness of searching of scriptures, but they love revelations. And that's why sometimes many preachers are sacrificing the thoroughness for depth. Are you following what I'm saying here? You must enjoy the thoroughness of reading lengthy scriptures. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? And now I'm saying this because this is like the difference between normal general hospital and teaching hospital is that some people are learning on the job in teaching hospital. They also learn on the job in general hospital. All right? But in teaching hospital, there are doctors who are students who are learning on the job. Now, why am I saying what I'm saying here? If you are going to teach on the subject, the good fight of faith, there might be temptation to want to read, all right, from verse 12. But you see, you've got to be able to sit down and read the entire thing so you can understand the context of that scripture you are quoting. If not, you just shadow box, and then we have people who are not founded on the reality of this thoroughness. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you must enjoy the process. It can be quite excruciating to sit with scripture, and even when water is coming from your eyes, oh boy, sit there and enjoy the teaching of it. Are you following what I'm saying here? And I believe that one of the things that some of us have as privilege was that we're able to find many of our foundations on the thoroughness of people like Kenneth E. Hagin, all right, read their materials and all that, listen to their tapes, their messages, all right, Pastor W.F. Kumui, all right, these are teachers who stay with the word thoroughly and teach and all those things. The apostolic movement in the body of Christ should not take the place of teachers. Are you following what I'm saying here? If a generation must be raised that will look like the intentions of God, it must be that they are students of the word. We must have a generation of who? Students. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. All right? So we have people who have deep statements but shallow lives because the discipline of sitting down with these things are not there again. It doesn't matter the number of books you have. If you are not reading your Bible, you won't grow. And I think one of our pastors posted something online today, and he said something very powerful. The last statement. He said, even if error is taught consistently, people's conviction are still built. That's a very powerful word. So one of the reasons we're having people who are toast to and fro with every wind of doctrine, all right, is that they are not established themselves. You can have a message and yet you are not established. Are you following what I'm saying here? So very important. So you must embrace and love the thoroughness of scriptures. Now that said, we go back to that same, all right, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Now let's start the reading from verse 1 to 12. Now see the difference. 1 Timothy 6 from verse 1 to 12. Please listen attentively. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Yes, 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, all right, and consent not to wholesome words, even when the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrines, which is according to godliness. 5 now. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doing, all right, doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, and evil submissions. All right, perverse disputings of men and corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and artful lusts. Alright? Okay. Which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have heard from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Continue, please. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now pay attention to that. So he was talking about, first he started talking about conduct. Alright? People who are under different authorities, these are the conduct and so on. Then he went to the issue of material gains, wealth, money, all right, and laid the foundations there. Many have, all right, converted after these things, and they have missed it. Said their snares are many. Said, but you, man of God, follow after, all right, righteousness, all right, follow after patience, follow after faith, follow after love, and this thing. Then he went on to say, fight the good fight of faith. Powerful. Now, it is important for us to mark that progression so you can understand what the fight is about and what the fight is not about. So if he has debunked the fact that some are following after wealth and all those things and all that, and then, but he now said, but you, that's a very powerful word, all right, follow after righteousness. So if he says now, fight the good fight of faith, it means first, it is not a fight against your wealth. All right, if you are going to have a fight, you can't fight yourself. Are you following what I'm saying here? Have you ever seen anybody who enters into the boxing ring alone and will punch himself, then come to the other side and punch himself? Even madmen don't do that. All right? So, what he's saying here as a foundation is this. When you are looking at this fight of faith, don't see, first, there's an enemy. That's why it's a fight. I said there's an enemy, that's why it is a fight. Huh? Good. That being said, it means this enemy primarily is not coming after your material gains. Understand that. That has to be very clear. Most times we have the tendency to think that a person is going through spiritual warfare when certain physical things we can see are under attack. Okay. At what point did Job start fighting the battle? It was not at the point that his house collapsed, his children died, and many things happened. No. The fight started when he had fears in his heart that he might lose everything. So what I'm telling you is this, that a Christian can be at the brink of defeat and yet everything is still fine. What happens in the physical is that it begins to take the posture of what has happened in the spirit realm. Hello. Have I said too many deep things? I believe they should be simple enough. Do you understand them? Good. What I'm trying to tell you is this, that the devil is not primarily after you getting rich as much as he's after in your walk of faith. In fact, listen, he will prefer that you are rich and yet defeated, so you can be a rich fool. In that context, he can maximize everything that should be a gain and then use it for his own glory. Are you following what I'm saying here? The devil, I'm going to show you a lot of things, and so this is going to be, all right, a very detailed teaching. The devil, as he is not interested, listen, he's not interested in just killing you like that. You bring, what is the economic value of your fall, if you fall now? So sometimes the mistake people make, all right, is that they are doing wrong things, but they are still being sponsored. And it looks like God endorses it. Because at that stage, their fall can't make many people to fall. So it is important they are fattened for the kill. They move in boastfulness, they move in arrogance, till eventually to make a loud noise, and then they crumble. Are you following what I'm saying here? So that you are not under attack and yet living in sin does not mean you are not under attack. Are you following what I'm saying here? So I want you to set your perspectives right. We are not about to deal with enemies from father's house or from your village. Are you following what I'm saying? Those ones, their operation began when you are defeated in the spirit realm. Or begins, sorry. The moment you are defeated, then those ones, they are the lowest indicator of the things you want to look at. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now lift your hands, right hand, everybody, where you are seated. You are going to say these confessions, then I'm going to leave you to pray for a minute. And I want you to say it loud and clear. You follow what I'm saying? You must understand the meaning. Say it loud and clear. Father, say it, call his name again. From today, my eyes of understanding, I enlightened I will not walk through life as a blind believer. I see, I know, I recognize what the enemy is trying to do. Much more, I see what is concluded in your word. And I choose to take my stand in the finished works. I refuse to be defeated in my mind, in my body, in my soul. I refuse to yield to the enemy. I yield my members to the obedience of Christ. I submit my thoughts, my will, my mind, my heart to your obedience. I yield to what Christ has finished. I refuse to live a day outside the finished works. I affirm today that every aspect of my life belongs to God. I recognize that I'm not being kept by my own righteousness, but by the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I affirm that from today, I refuse to reject all the armor that is in Christ. I am the righteousness of God. I wear the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of the truth, the shoe of the gospel. I refuse to ignore the sword of the Spirit. I wear the helmet of salvation. I stand firm in what Christ has finished. I affirm that my life will not be lost physically and in the spirit realm to the activities of the devil. I refuse to fall for his wiles. I stand strong as a soldier of Christ, holding firm this confession of faith that I will not become a loose end. Through me, the devil will not succeed in bringing another believer down. I stand recognizing what Christ has done. And I stand in that victory. And I will pray from it. Now, can you pray this prayer in a minute? Come on now. Pray that prayer in a minute. Shakata barakatesh. Shekata barande kapai. Aste kabila. Vende kapilo stefele makite. Ela hai kadish te pelerande kapai. Yente ke barata kabayatesh. Elende brefende kapitosh. Sente ke prafrande kapitosh. Lende kabramba kate shate. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now please be seated as we study. All right, and go into these things. First, I'm going to start from, we are fighting the good fight of faith, all right? So you must understand what it is. The first question you want to ask, of course, I believe you are a student of the scripture, and you understand that we have a major enemy. Are you following what I'm saying now? The scripture refers to it with many names, Leviathan, the devil, the accuser of brethren, and so on and so forth. All right, is our hark enemy. So, but if we are to fight, all right, the good fight of it is a fight. So that you are alive, you can't choose not to fight. Are you following what I'm saying here? In fact, let me put it like this. Anybody who is a Christian can't choose not to fight. You're already in a battle. Now, your hacks. What about those who are not Christians? What about those who are in the world? What about those who are, all right, idol worshippers who are being defeated repeatedly and all that? All right, what is happening there is not a warfare. It is a progression of a life lived without God. Are you following what I'm saying here? It's a natural flow. When you live your life outside God, already you are in the grip of the devil. All right, so there's no point fighting you. Naturally, life will fight you. Because creation rebels against anything that rebels against the creator. Are you following what I'm saying there? So anyone who is not in Christ is living in rebellion. Alright, there's a flow of life that scripture sums the end of that life as death. There is a way that seems right unto men, but the end of it is what? Death. So the flow of that life eventually brings them into that. First is a state of death that is attained, alright, in the spirit, that the physical life will now later sum up to bring that. Are you following what I'm saying here? But for any man who is in Christ, all right, the battle has started again. There's a fight. So let's look at the history of this fight. When did this fight start and all that? In fact, Genesis started by showing us that the earth is not innocent. That's how Genesis started. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And immediately in verse 2, what was looking like a pleasant story that was starting, we saw that the earth was without form and what? Void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's how the Bible, Genesis, started. So we can see already that there's an activity that is apart from God. That was described as darkness that, alright, seems to fight anything God is doing. But as we begin to study scriptures, we now begin to see that there were things that were going on before the beginning began. Are you following what I'm saying here? There are events that were taking place before the beginning began. Alright? So we begin to see that there was a time that a being, alright, which was a much trusted being. In fact, it was described as an anointed cherub that covered it. Alright? At some point began to envy the beauty of God's glory. And pride entered into his heart. And he said he wants to be like the Most High. And scripture said that it was sent down. Are you following what I'm saying there? The dragon and his angels fought, all right? It was sent down from heaven, all right? So the anointing that covered it, I've said this so, that was upon the holy mountain. All these things took place before Genesis 1. Now, there are different kind of, all right, scripture expositors. There are people who have refused to recognize the fact of scriptures. Alright, that we start where scripture started from. Alright, most scripture started from Genesis 1, but over time in Ezekiel, in Isaiah, Revelation, also went to before Genesis 1 to show us a lot of clue. Are you following what I'm saying here? The devil did not just exist by itself and just came by natural occurrence. No, we saw that he was first in heaven. And as he was coveting the position of God, he was also manipulating angels. Alright, such that when he was sent down, scripture says that he still dragged, alright, certain percentage of the angels. Those who had believed him, they are referred to as fallen angels. Jude also showed us, alright, that in fact, not all of these guys are allowed to have interference with the earth. Some were locked in, right, in Euphrates, alright, waiting for an appointment. They are very deadly guys. Are you following what I'm saying here? They are very deadly guys. There are different categories of them that fell. Alright, we have powers, we have spiritual wickedness. Those ones were not even allowed to come down to the earth. They were kept in the clouds, in the heaven. Their influence is felt once in a while. Alright, but we're going to get there and, alright, and talk about them. So those guys were left there. But there are fallen angels. Alright, but there are also demons. Demons, fallen angels don't possess people. They influence systems. Demons are the ones that seek for bodies. All right, and I don't want to go into that because I want to focus on the manuscript, all right, and just stay where I should stay. But I have a whole teaching on this. The media can make it available if you want to understand where I took time to explain more about this. All right, but demons are this embodied spirit. All right, you see the book of Ezekiel made it very clear. All right, before Genesis 1 began, when the devil fell, there were kings, there were thrones, there were systems upon the earth. So Genesis 1 is not just the account of the creation of the earth. It is the account of a recreation that took place. Alright, because you begin to see the work of that recreation in Genesis 1. In Genesis 1 from verse 3 when God said, let there be light. Alright, and there was light. Between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, alright, scripturally there was a space of billions of years. And different events took place. So when he said God created the heavens and the earth, there were things that were in both of them. So when the earth was destroyed, all right, and everything, there were things that God destroyed with it. And the reason demons seek body to possess, no demon is convenient without possessing anyone. If you cast out demons, they feel naked because they are disembodied spirits. They want to get into somebody. There are different categories of them. Spirit of infirmities, unclean spirit. Infirmities cause sickness. Unclean spirit make people do things that are against natural laws. Romans 1, all right, says because they fail to retain God in their heart. He gave them over to reprobate minds to do the things which are not convenient. So there are demons that, all right, make people do things. They make people do things that is contrary to the law of God's creation, law of order. Are you following what I'm saying there? But there are also evil spirits. Don't generalize them and say, oh, all these are evil spirits. No, they are evil spirits, alright? These ones make people do things that are very wicked. Are you following what I'm saying there? Somebody can pick a knife and slash the throat of another man, alright, because of a spirit that has possessed him. Demons' attention can be called when you do the same thing again and again. Wrong things over time, alright? Consistency calls the attention of spirit. Are you following what I'm saying here? So there are spirits like that. But we also saw, in case you didn't believe that angels fell with the devil, but we also saw that there were angels that saw the daughters of men, all right, and lusted after them, all right, and then they had, all right, affairs with them. And then they became the generation of the Nephilims. Are you following what I'm saying here? Giants multiplied upon the face of the earth, and you see, they began to do things that were very wicked. And God had to allow a flood come and wipe away that system. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, so those were events that have taken place. The earth has survived a lot of it. Are you following what I'm saying? Now we are in our own time, our own generation. And the stories will still be told again. Because after this, there's still another beginning. He said, and I see the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven like a bride prepared for her husband. Are you following what I'm saying here? So there's still going to be the same way they were in that time, that everything wiped out. The reason you can't think beyond nice, because this is the only reality you've known. But this is not the only reality there is. This is not the only reality there will be. The earth in the scheme of everything God created is like a drop of water in the ocean. To get to many other planets, you have to travel light years. Are you following what I'm saying here? So it's a whole master plan, but amazingly, God has made you the object of his love despite the vast nature of everything he's doing. So what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you consider him? That you make him a little bit lower than Elohim. So it is a question that goes on in the heart of principalities and powers, all right, demonic operations. That what is this being? So despite how vast everything God is doing is, we have the scope of the things we have the scope of. And the scope that we have is the scope that the Bible provides for us. No one is allowed to think, believe, or operate outside what the scripture gives as fact. Are you following what I'm saying here? That is the length, the breadth, and the depth of the reality given to us as portion for us to understand. Are you following what I'm saying here? Creation bears witness, all right, of God's vastness, talks about how vast this God is. But we are not going into that now. But what I'm saying to you is that there are realities. Are you following what I'm saying here? And we are not in a world that is so innocent. Are you following what I'm saying here? So scripture says Genesis 1:2 that the earth was without form and void. And that's exactly what happens whenever the devil sees anything or anyone that brings glory to God. So the reason for this fight in the first place, the reason for this contention in the first place, all right, is that the devil believes that if he can't have the beauty and the glory that he envied and desired, nobody should have it. Are you following what I'm saying here? If he can, that's the reason for the hot jealousy. That's the reason for the strife. Alright? If he can't have it, you should not have it. That's the reason why he's fighting you. The devil fights anything and anyone that brings God glory. That's the genesis of the fight. And that's why you'll see, alright, when scripture began to talk about, look at the life of Adam and Eve. The moment they were people, individuals, bring God glory, an unusual species. Alright, they were superior to the natural, though living in the natural. God will come in the cool of the evening and walk with them and talk with them. And that stirred up all jealousy. And the devil came to Eve in Genesis 3 and said to Eve that as God said, you should not eat of any tree of the garden. There was no rice to boil. There was no knowledge to do that. Man was still going to advance in knowledge. So if he says that you should not eat of any, it means God is saying you should die of hunger. Are you following what I'm saying here? So he asked the wrong question, all right, and then she gave the wrong answer, partly in trying to defend God. Long story cut short, man fell. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right? They were served the consequence of the fall. They gave birth, Cain and Abel. The moment Abel began to look like a child that brings God pleasing, that brings God glory, the devil now look at the first thing he did. He came to Eve directly. All right? He couldn't come through Adam because he knows the truth. But now, when he was going to come to Abel, he came through his brother. Because there was already something achieved in the heart of his brother. In fact, God had told Cain that sin lies at your door, but you must master, you must rule over it. Alright? Because it is having desire for you. The victim here is not your brother, the victim here is you. Because when the devil is trying to use you as a believer against another believer, that believer is not the victim. Eventually, the devil as a schoolmaster, God still having his hand over that believer, will, through what you want to do, get that believer to a place of strength and growth. It will not be palatable, but it's going to take advantage of it. But it is you that he is trying to use that becomes the victim. Anything the devil uses is the victim. Anyone the devil uses is the victim. Alright? Are you following what I'm saying? But please pay attention. I'm still laying some foundation. And, alright, there are lots of things to talk about. So the way I'm teaching, you should know that you'll have to get this teaching and listen again and again. You follow what I'm saying here? So when he came and moved Abel, and moved Cain to kill Abel, and he picked a stone, strike his brother on the head, all right, and that one died. And you look at scripture full of, all right, how that the devil now learned the pattern of using man against man. You follow what I'm saying here? Using the creation of God to fight, all right, another creation of God. So he began to operate behind the scene by manipulating the wills of men. The only time he did it by himself, directly in scriptures, 2 times. Luke chapter number 4, Genesis chapter number 3. The first Adam, the second Adam. Every other time, in fact, when it was time for Jesus to be crucified, scripture says that as Satan entered into Judas. There are times that people feel like doing something that it is because a spirit entered. Have you seen people that went somewhere by themselves, stood up by themselves, and went somewhere where they died? And if you had asked them a few minutes to that time, they would tell you they don't even know where they are going to. So the moment your will is not submitted to God, you'll be carryable by demons. Are you following what I'm saying here? And listen to me. That it is demons operating through a man doesn't mean the man will not be convinced. Okay. Do you get what I'm saying? What did I say? That it is demons operating through a man does not mean the man will not be what? Convinced. Have you ever spoken with people who are so convinced that you know what they are trying to do will land them in destruction? Are you following what I'm saying? In fact, listen to me. When the devil spoke to Jesus, it was after 40 days fasting and prayer. You have done 3 days, yet you trust what you are hearing. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because you believe that the purpose of fasting, all right, is that the flesh will be suppressed, all right, and then you spent your spirit before God, all right? Are you following what I'm saying here? It's ventilated with the life of the spirit. Now you are alive to hear from God, this. But the devil can still find occasion. In fact, most people who fall into great issues in their life fell into it after major fasting. And here's something the devil have learned to explore. The moment you have fasted, immediately something ministers to you that your rank in the spirit has changed. It's not true. And when you believe your rank in the spirit has changed, your expectation becomes different. All right? You are expecting that after fasting, when you are going home, they should automatically know that the man of God deserves to eat. And if you don't meet that food, all right, then you blow out. If care is not taken, all the energy gathered in place of fasting, you vent it on something else. And that's gone. If the devil can't stop you in between, he will wait for you at the end. Are you following what I'm saying here? And then another mistake people fall into after long fasting, all right, is the mistake of presumption. They think that automatically because they have fasted, they have done all those things, everybody should just know that they are different now. The devil does not assume. He will still test you with the most basic thing, because that's the one you can ignore. When you fast, when you go into Lenten stuff, be careful of pride. When you are proud, you lower down your shield, then you are vulnerable to attack. You know, that's what I'm saying. When you walk in humility, all right, it's because you are trusting what you have in Christ. When you begin to trust yourself, Jesus Christ, can I help you with this? This is going to preserve your life. I was listening to a song into the night, and the person singing the song, first a song, but I don't want that to be traced. Let me share another one I saw. Alright, somebody was talking about this God measure of security and all that. And then, alright, describe how that, I'm careful. Sometimes when you are busy about what God has sent you to do, and the devil tries to attack you, and then God vindicated you and rescued you from it, don't accredit the rescue to the fact that you were busy about the work. Accredit it to what Christ has finished. If you accredit it to your duty, the day you are not on it, you can die. Listen, never feel there's something you can do that can replace or surpass what Christ has done. So your safety, your defense, everything you get must always be accredited to the cross. Do you get what I'm saying? Many who have not recognized this are falling asleep early. So, if my wife comes and share a testimony, oh, look at God's rescue, look at God's deliverance. Number one, it is not because she's married to me. Number two, it is not because we are busy and we are faithful. If you say, oh, God is, what I'm trying to tell you is that, don't live under the security of the calling. Live under the security of what Christ finished. That's how to fight. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because when Paul began to describe in Ephesians 6 about, the weapons of our warfare, none of those things he did he say are yours. He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Okay, that's 2 Corinthians 10:4. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Alright, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal and all that. Ephesians 6:10 began to describe the weapon and he said, put on the whole armor of God. Which of them is yours? Do you get what I'm saying? The devil understands that the moment you are faithful with a spiritual activity, you want to hype yours over that which belongs to God. Don't fall into that snare. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you? Alright, this is spiritual intelligence here. Alright, listen. We have to be students of the word. One of the reasons why we read the word and read again and again, our life, our security, everything is inside. And we need to get those understanding. So the moment you have done something and you feel, oh wow, I've done something very few people do, you want to replace that with what, you want to replace what God has done with the little you have done. What you are saying is that it is not like what you have done is not potent. But the day you are not disposed to do it, you can be launched down. You give the legal permission. So it is not enough to know we are in a fight. You must know how to fight and how to win. We can't talk about how to win until you know how to fight. We won't jump the gun. Are you following what I'm saying here? Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you must know how to. So, I've shown you how that odd jealousy has been from the beginning. What is the devil fighting? Anything or anyone that brings God glory. See, what he doesn't want you to do is to be for his glory. If you are anything else, you are fine. But as long as your life or anything coming from you becomes a tool that magnifies God, then there's an issue. Are you following what I'm saying here? Praise God. So what did Paul tell Timothy? Let's go back to that scripture again. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 verse 12. Fight! Not look. There's a fight of faith and you have to fight it. It is a fight. You can't say you are not fighting. You can't choose not to fight. It is a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou and also God. But now, what is he saying? You need to understand the progression. Let's start from verse 11, so you can see the progression of this very interesting scripture. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Yes? Fight the good fight of faith. All right? It means if you are to follow after these things and immediately you are shown a fight, it means the fight is to the end that you don't follow after those things. Do you understand that? Okay. Then he said, by the time you are done fighting this fight, he said you should lay hold on what? Eternal life. Now, what is eternal life? That you may know him. That's eternal life. All right, give us that scripture. John 17:3. All right, John 17:3. What does it say? This is eternal life, that they might know thee. Let's read this together. Now, 1, 2, 3, go. Read it again. Now, the last time, loud and clear, hear yourself. So this is eternal life. And that life is a knowledge. And that's the knowledge of God. Is that simple enough? Good. So when it says that lay hold on eternal life, what is he saying? Lay hold on knowing Jesus. Please hold on a minute. Lay hold on knowing Jesus. What kind of knowing is this? Look at it. Paul speaking to the Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. All right, let's start reading from verse 7. Philippians chapter number 3. Let's start from verse 7, please. Philippians 3, verse 7. All right, what things were gain? Now, to know Jesus, one of the first principles to entering into his knowledge is that you must empty your tank of what you think you know. All right, a young rich guy came to follow Jesus and all that. And Jesus, he said, I've kept all the law. I've done everything I should do. I'm perfect. Jesus looked at him and said, everything you have, go and sell and give to the poor. And scripture says that the young man left with sorrow, for he had great possession. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, there are people who know the Bible, but they don't know the God of the Bible. There are people who have doctrinal perspective about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. Because they that do know him, one of the marks we use to recognize them is that they will be strong and then they will do exploit. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, so you can't know Jesus and not have that spiritual strength. So he said, the things I count, listen, the moment you have things that replace him in your heart, it blocks you from knowing him better. And that's why if he wants to show you his ways, you will first collect your own. The Israelites saw the heart of God, but his ways did they reveal to Moses. Sometimes God empties you and leaves you in a situation where him alone is all you can trust on. All right, so you can begin to know him. Matthew 5 verse 3. Matthew 5:3, all right, says that blessed are the poor in spirit. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Can you give me this scripture, all right, from Message translation? It says, blessed, Message, good. You are blessed when you are at the end of your rope, for with less of you there is more of God and of his rule. All right, Genesis 17 from verse 1, all right, quickly. Genesis 17 from verse 1. Alright. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be what? Perfect. And you look at the story of Jacob when he wrestled with the angel. Are you following what I'm saying there? When he wrestled with the angel and the angel said, let me go because it is day. That category of angel, alright, are angels that comes in form of men. They have the form, they have the shape of men. There are different categories of angels. And some of them don't have two eyes and nose like you have. There are categories called thrones. They are dangerous beings. They don't look normal. When you see them, you can pass out. And yet, Jesus is still bigger than all those things. Alright? So, if you fought with the angel, I'd say it's daybreak, I will never let you go unless you bless me. And then the angel touched the hollow of his thigh and it got out of joint. And then the angel asked him, what is your name? At the point he no longer had energy to fight, he now asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "I'm Jacob." So at that point, it occurred to him by revelation, "I've been a deceiver all my life. Hence, the reason why I think I can get everything by strength." And the angel said, "Your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, you have wrestled with God and men and prevailed." How did he wrestle with men? If he won every battle he fought, how did he prevail in his wrestling with God? He submitted. So he said, "You have prevailed." There is something you will know when you are at the end of yourself. You will never know it as long as it is you. If everything you have seen is what you worked for, you don't know God. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright? That's just the fact. And that's why scripture says that even when you have riches, don't let your confidence be in it. In fact, let me tell you this. If you're a young man, you're a young lady, that you are at a phase of life where God is beginning to expose you to wealth, you must still trust him for provision like you didn't have money. You don't understand what I'm saying? The moment something comes to your heart that begins to take the place of you depending on God, that's your Isaac. It has to go. So you saw that Isaac was never going to be able to carry the promise, all right, as long as the affection of Abraham was on him, until God said, "Now you have to sacrifice Isaac, your only son Isaac, whom you love." And as he walked Isaac to the, and that's the plane all of us must get. Let me say this to you. This idea, this attempt of this generation to redefine God in a woke way will veil certain patterns and will not see certain dimensions. Because people will be full of very much doctrines and theologies, but they will have little experiences. They will have little taste of what God can do. Alright, the pathway to know God more is the pathway of death and sacrifice. And by that I mean death to self. And that's why Paul started from that, alright, Philippians 3 verse 7. He said, "For all the things that were gained to me, now I count them as loss." In fact, another rendition says, "I count them as dung." Dung means, refuse. Animal dungs, that's their poo. Alright, I count them as nothing. They need to be trashed. Alright, for the sake of Christ. Now look at verse 8 quickly. Now, he said, "Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord." Alright, what was he saying he counted as dung? Alright, this man was trained under Gamaliel, very powerful teacher. So there were certain cultures, certain knowledge that were formed. And that's why I try to implore Christians that sometimes the scriptures you may never know are the ones you have marked and written beside it. Because you believe you have gotten all the revelation there is. The ones you can quote, you may not be humble to listen to the teaching on them. Are you following what I'm saying there? As long as you can quote a scripture, if care is not taken, the revelation you got the first time that fastened them to your heart is all you may ever know. So we still submit understanding that there are deeper things that God can bring out. One of the most perverse doctrinal error around division, dividing scriptures is to think that every scripture is literal and can only mean what the writer was saying. No. All scripture were given by the inspiration, all right, of the Holy Spirit. They are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, all right, and all that. So, if it is an inspiration from God, the depth of them is not one thing. But listen, the balance to that is that you cannot make a scripture mean what you intend. It must be the author telling you what it is. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. Alright, now go back to that Romans 8. So I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. So when we talk about the knowledge of Jesus, we are not talking about knowing Jesus as a person. We are talking about knowing Jesus as a faculty. You don't understand what I'm saying. Jesus, what do you think? You talk about knowing what his fingernails look like. Or knowing, now who is Jesus? Let's start from there. If this is eternal life, and that life is to know him, the only true God. So who is he? Because he was the same one that was with them, and lived, 3.5 years, after spending 30 years, in isolation, then 3.5 years with them. He died, rose from the grave, was still with them 40 days, eating bread, fish, taking everything else. Alright. We know he didn't take wine because he said he will not take it again until, alright, the resurrection. But he took many other things with them. 40 days. Somebody they have buried the month he rose again was still with them. 40 days. Alright. They were walking together. The angel of God came, picked him up and said, this same Jesus that you see taken up today will in like manner come back again and all that. Revelations 1. John said, I was in the spirit of the Lord. I heard a voice behind me. Like the way he looked up, saw it was Jesus, said his hair was as white as snow. When he saw him, he passed out. The same Jesus he was used to seeing before. So who is he? Alright? If scripture says in John chapter number 1, verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. Alright? And the Word was God. Give us that scripture. Let's progress on that scripture. And the Word was God. Now go to verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Alright, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. So in the beginning was the word was with God, the same word was God. Alright, describe the word as the light is the life of men, and all that. So, he's God. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is not, I don't understand that. Jesus was never in existence until there was a need to come and save man. What has always been three that bears witness in heaven is the Word, the Father and the Spirit. So he is not the junior brother of God. He is not somebody that is not the product of God's reproduction. Is God. Meaning that his vastness is as the vastness of God. But is the image of the invisible God. Is the only one through whom we can understand God. Is the summary, the one that helps us to comprehend who this invisible God that dwells in unapproachable light, who he is. Because if you want to think about the vastness of God, you'll be lost in the space of your thought. Your mind itself will explode in trying to fathom the little reality of him. You can't think about anything about God and think it through. If you can think it through, it is not God. And yet, Jesus is the image of this invisible God. So, this invisible God is not just an entity, because in the entity there are patterns. And if Jesus is the one that demystifies the pattern, you can't know him without walking the way. So he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You can't know him by reading. It takes you through a life that I'll begin to help you understand that what I have read is a reality. And as I walk this path, he is demystified in my heart. Warfare now in a context is to stop you from walking that path. Are you following what I'm saying here? So what I'm saying is that scriptures testify of him. Scripture does not really reveal him in his entirety. He walks you through a path that reveals him in his pattern. He is known as we walk with him. Are you following what I'm saying here? So the devil doesn't want that walk. That's the walk of faith, sir. So if you are okay with rhetorics, you are going to sit with it. And then you will boast about something that is on your head. But the real knowledge of Jesus is not on the head. It is in a life. Because that knowledge is a life. You don't understand. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright. Can we go back to where we're reading? I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus. This same, wait, Seth. You know, when they wanted to kill Peter, he was able to run. And when he was running, he met Jesus. And he asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to die again. Then he knew. So he went to, he went back and laid himself down. Alright, and when they wanted to crucify him. Now, what did he see from being the running man to becoming the man who says, don't even just crucify me like the way you did to Jesus. I consider it dishonor. Turn me upside down. So what happened to him from the moment he saw him? Saul of Tarsus was on his way to go and kill believers. He saw him, a light shone from heaven. And immediately his heart was transformed. And he refers to the one he was persecuting and said, Lord. Who taught him within that flash of seconds to call him Lord? What is it about this Jesus that some can be boasting in their head of what they think they know, and yet some can encounter his light and all of a sudden their light turns from night to day? Because the proof that you have met him is a transformation that takes place here. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yeah. The issue is that on the pathway of this knowledge, the more you know him is the more you know you don't know him. So each time you sit down to boast with a level of knowledge, it is because you have stopped knowing. That's why what you know look rich. So even Abraham, the man that was referred to as the father of faith, every new level reveals something new about God. But it has to be a walk. It is a process and a progress in the spirit realm. And the devil hates it when you are given to that process. Alright, so let's just finish this scripture. Say, yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Yes. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of it, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his what? Unto his death. Are you seeing that now? Alright? So he began to talk about the desire to know him. But he started by talking about the pathway to knowing him. You must give certain things off for you to be introduced to his pattern. Let me explain. How do I try to help you get this? Are you following me? If you're understanding this, say amen. All right, let me explain this. Bishop Francis Waluke shared this story, all right, of a time he was trying to tell a lecturer about Jesus, a prof. All right, say he doesn't want the prof to go to hell and all that. And the prof lambasted him and then said many things and said he should tell him the geographical location of hell. Then he will believe that hell is real. And he looked and looked and looked and told him that hell is at the end of a life lived without God. Alright? Then it's not something you can read on Google map. No Bolt driver can take you there. But drive your life outside God's leading. That's the destination. Drive your life saying no to God. That's your destination. So let me explain something now. Alright? Please, both of you come. Now, let me explain. How far is this man from going to jail? The distance, what do you think is the distance? He's not in club, he's not doing anything bad. But what do you think is the distance between this man and going to jail? Talk to me now. Is he close to going to jail? Look at, he's in church. Is he close to going to jail? Well, if this man is in the club, is he close to being in jail? Now, what you don't understand is that there's nothing you are not close to. He is close to, all he needs to get to jail before tonight end, alright, and be remanded in prison, and there's no guarantee he may come out again, is to feel led and carry this chair and go and break it on somebody's head. Now, alright, you understand the person has families, his freedom can be revoked. The distance between him and that is a decision. Now understand that. Alright, if he makes some decisions wisely and rightly, that's also the same distance between him and lifting. You are close to everything. You are just one decision away. I'm trying to show you something. Alright? What's the distance between life and death? Alright? The distance is at the point of yielding up the ghost. Heaven is not that far. It can't be measured in kilometer. If somebody dies now, before somebody blinks, he's already there. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, good. There's the distance between you and the knowledge of Christ is self-death. I think I shared when I saw a picture online. Alright, an astronaut. I don't know if that happened, but you know, people just put many things and change narratives of real events. But they got a picture of an astronaut, alright, and then put something there like a placard. Like the astronaut was saying, I can't see God here. And somebody commented there that if you take off your nose mask, right, you'll see him. You don't have to look for him with microscope. You just take off this mask and all this suit that protects and all that. Now, you discover that God is not far. Are you following what I'm saying there? Somebody died, they are trying to bury the person, and somebody is holding the coffin and say, hey, let me go. No, you don't have to tell them to let you go. All right? A bottle of sniper, before you know it, about 5 minutes of struggle, you are there. Now, I'm not trying to encourage somebody from killing themselves and all that. But I'm just trying to show you that the difference, the distance is not in kilometer. You are not, in fact, the distance is not the number of days you have to live. The distance is the decision. If you decide to stay alive, it is far. If you decide to die now, it is so close. You are close to everything. You just have to decide what you want. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, at what point will a man be introduced to the knowledge of God? To the point that he has decided to submit his ways for his own ways. Where he now begins to die to his own self. The more you decrease, the more he increase. So, what the fight of faith is the fight to keep walking that walk of faith. Alright? The enemy that is fighting you, what is he fighting for? To make sure you don't. And that's why you will notice that. So, you first understand that this is the fight. But what you don't know is the way you fight. That when you pick your Bible to read, already it occurred to you that there's a message you didn't reply on WhatsApp. And if you pick the phone to reply that message, you spend the whole day without reading the Bible. The way the fight happened was not with guns, bullets, and bombs. It was just with a subtle thought. Alright? And the more you yield to it, is the more you'll be able to yield to it. Please sit down. Are you following what I'm saying? If fight your spiritual progress, if fight your process of becoming, but in a subtle way. Instead of making somebody have accident or a fan falling on your head from not reading your Bible because you want to go and read your Bible, so by the time you are nursing that wound, he won't do that because that can also create a revival in your heart and begin to pray. So he doesn't really fight you with adversity first. He fights you with comfort. And I'm going to still, explain certain things in that regard. Amen. Now, is somebody following what I'm teaching here? Tell your neighbor, fight the good fight of faith. Say it again. Tell your neighbor again, fight the good fight of faith. Come on, say it again, fight the good fight of faith. Say it loud and clear to another neighbor, fight the good fight of faith. So, here's the deal. You can't choose not to fight. I saw a boxing video where somebody got into the ring with an opponent. And whether he was trying to protest or for something else, he just chose not to fight. Alright? Chose not to fight. And they were introducing the other guy. I call him Jumbo Jumbo. They were introducing the other guy. This guy has fought people, all the people this guy has fought, he's fought 16 people, and then he defeated 12 in the first round. Out of that 12, 6 right now are condemned in the hospital. Then the other 4, blah, 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 when they were done talking about all the things this guy has done. And then they described this, the other guy that came to fight that guy, and they said, well, he's fought 10 matches, he's won 2, and then he lost 8, blah, 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 and all that. When they were done reading the stuff, the guy was still lifting his hand like he was going to fight. He just bowed out of the ring and left. They were throwing bottled water at him and he didn't stay. All right. Now, when such happen in a fight, you don't call it no contest. The other guy won. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying here? There can be an injury in the process of fighting and all that. You can declare that no contest. Alright, but if you decide to leave after they have, alright, this fellow is declared victorious. And if you look at the book of Ephesians 6, let's go to Ephesians 6, alright, verse 10. And I'm now going to spend time showing you some critical things about this fight, so you can know how, what it is. Now look at it, Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in who? Come on now, be strong in who? In yourself? No, if you ignore God, you become weak. Be strong in the Lord. Say it again. Be strong in the Lord. We can see, we can talk about this all year. Just that word. Be strong in the Lord. Alright? Because there is consistent flow of strength in God. And you must choose to value that strength than what you have. You have to recognize it. You have to position your heart in the way that it is clear you need it. Now tell your neighbor, you need the strength of God. Now say it again in case you don't think you need it. Now, even in the days you are strong, you still need His strength. So most times you feel you need God the moment there are disasters. No. In the day things are fine, you still need Him. So when you read Galatians, alright, 5, and say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and then begin to mention gentleness. That gentleness is not the kind of one you are born with. If you enter into this warfare with your own natural gentleness, to be exhausted, spent, squandered, you not discover that you can be lousy, you can be right, cruel, you can be all that. So that one scripture is talking about is at the end of your own. It is a fruit that manifests when a seed dies. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His... There's no room for self-boasting here. Power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Alright, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles. Alright, of the devil. Now, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whereof, alright, wherefore, take... unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Now go to verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, and wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery dart of the wicked. Take on the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Alright, I would have wanted, if the media can help me, alright, display the picture of a soldier that is fully kitted, describing all this weapon. What you'll find out is that everything covers him as long as he faces the enemy. The moment you turn back, there's no provision for those who leave. Tell your neighbor, stand. Stand! We don't belong to the category of them that turn in the day of adversity. Are you following what I'm saying here? Say it again, stand. You've been prepared for such a time as this. Take your stand. Alright? So you've got to be fully kitted. When Saul was going to, David was going to fight Goliath. And Saul said he should. Alright, now having seen your resume, alright, I'm go and fight him. And Saul said, come and wear my own stuff. He wore those stuff. Scripture said they were too big for him. Alright, for he has not put them to you. So this is what it looks like. Alright? So you look at that. What you see at the back is just clothes. So the moment you turn your back in fear, the enemy gets you down. Different vital organs can still be gotten through the back. Are you following what I'm saying here? In fact, Psalms 11 verse 2 says, talk about the wicked bending their bows to shoot at the upright in heart. Alright? So you have to stand. Now what was I saying before now? Huh? David. So when he wore those things Goliath gave him, Saul gave him, they were too big for him. So he had to put them down. Alright? And then just went by faith. And then he was able to bring Goliath down. But the one God gives you is not too big for you because you are wearing them by faith. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now you don't understand what I'm saying here. They are not physical. This fight is not what you think it is. You've learned some different things all your life. Why did he say you should wear the breastplate of righteousness? It means even if anything happens to you while this battle is on, never lose the fact, the understanding, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Never allow the enemy convince you otherwise. Because as you are going, at some point your strength may fail you and it may look like God is now turned aside from you. You must always understand, there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ. He's going to fight you with condemnation. You may never be able to come back, not because of what you have done, but because you feel you are now too dirty to be accepted. And that's why, when man fell in the beginning, and God called out of, when he was calling for them in the garden, was he not aware that they were naked? Did he not see what was going on? And yet he was expecting them to come with full assurance of faith. And when he said, Adam, where are thou? And he said, we hid ourselves, for we are naked. He didn't say, what did you do? It's beyond what you did. You believed something. Who told you that you are naked? The issue is not what you did. The issue is that what you did positioned you to now believe a voice. What I'm saying is that, now this is not an endorsement for people to begin to live in sin. What I'm telling you is that you must understand that what you have in Christ is not a product of your work. You can't work for it. It gave you as a gift. Are you following what I'm saying now? And you can't be too dirty to run away from soap. Keep running back. What I'm trying to tell you is that the moment you drop your breastplate of righteousness, what you try to do is to cover yourself with figs. And those figs are leaves. You have to keep cutting new one every time so they can be green. Alright? That's what religion does. You've got to keep finding your own way, your own righteousness. Alright? Humble yourself and accept what is in Christ. And when you accept it, what it does is that, alright, the consciousness of it leads you through a path that leads the life of Christ. It doesn't bring you into complacency to now begin to live in sin. Are you following what I'm saying here? When you teach the gospel, don't overstretch it. That was what happened to them in the beginning. God said, don't eat. Eve said, he said, don't touch. Alright? We understand that sin is very dangerous and right, it makes shipwreck of people's lives and all that. But you see, the fact is that the righteousness you have obtained is not by works. You can't work for it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Amen. Now, see, most times when people teach on the subject of spiritual warfare, we are quick to jump into enemies. But there are basic knowledge you've got to have. If you don't have those knowledge, you can't win. Alright? Say it loud and clear, I'm justified. Hold on. Do you know that I can be angry with you? Yes, you can do something and I'm not happy with you. Alright? And I want to discipline you. Are you following what I'm saying? In fact, you can be coming to church and say, the way Papa rebuked me on phone, I think when he sees me today, he's going to rebuke me. But you can't think of that about God. Alright? He's not thinking about punishing you. Alright? Little children, is I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate of the Father. Alright? Now, hold on. How do I help you? Sir, God is not your father. He's not your earthly father. The way you understand fatherhood is because of the way you have experienced it. Whether it was missing in action, present, cruel, not caring, not affectionate, or fantastic father. Whatever one, it fits into that mold. God is the real concept of what a father is. A giver, a protector, a defender. Alright, that is who he is. So, when he is thinking about you, he is not angry with you. So there was a time, myself and Pastor Michel were going for a retreat. And we're trying to drive through, alright, the expressway, Lagos Ibadan Expressway. And we're using Google Map. Alright, several times we drove around the same circle. Never did the map shout, or did any map didn't say that. Alright, it kept saying, turn to the left. If you miss it, it will reroute so you can take another path. God is greater than Google Map. Well done. When David missed it, slept with Bathsheba and all that, the next king should come and all that. Okay, now you have missed it. This is the consequence. But this is also the routing. I can still bring out the next king from this mess. The moment you are not conscious of forgiveness that is in Christ, you've lost. Because you'll be vulnerable to every evil the devil brings. See, we can never discuss the subject of spiritual warfare without affirming the victory that we have in Christ. What Jesus did on the cross, listen to me, is not something you will have to go and finish. You are not starting the unfinished work of Christ. In John 19:30, when he received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." There's no unfinished work. Are you following what I'm saying? He finished his work. You are the one who now need to do your own work in him. But that work is not to obtain what he already gave you. Are you following what I'm saying here? Hey. The issue is this. The believer who is not perfect but understand the mercy of God will do better than the one who seems to be perfect but does not understand the forgiveness and the mercy of God. And that's why David captured it in Psalm 51 verse 16. He said, "Flawless performance is nothing to you." Alright, he said, "You don't delight in sacrifice or burnt offering, lest I would have given it to you." He said, "But the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart." Alright, you will not despise. Meaning that the one who trusts in what God can make out of him will do better. And the one who trusts on his own ability to stand firm and stand strong. Are you following what I'm saying there? So if scripture says that having done all, stand. You are not standing with your own muscle. You are standing because in him you move, in him you live, in him you have your being. That's the strength that vitalizes you. Anytime there is an attempt to discuss, all right, this fight without establishing the supremacy of what you have in Christ, you are going to crash. Now, somebody says that, what is the greatest message? You're going to tell ministers one message. What's going to be that greatest message? Never lose sight of the fact that God loves you. Why do I say that? John 17, that was the climax. When Jesus was in his deepest pain, crying and praying, he kept emphasizing on the love of the Father. The love that you have for me from the very beginning. Because at that point, he's about to suffer for sins he didn't commit, where it would be easy to think the Father doesn't love him. But no. You know, there's a way you can be a vessel of the calling, be a minister, alright, and think God is using you at the expense. God is bettering people's life at the expense of yours. So you think yours have to die, decrease, become battered, useless, because he wants to through you raise people. God is not using you like soap. Those that he calls, alright, he also justifies. Those that he justifies, he also glorifies. So he's using you unto glory. If you were a soap and it's God that is using you, are increasing the more he uses you. Now you seem lost in thought. Am I too fast? Alright, lift your right hand. Say it again. God loves me. Okay, wait. Okay, my daughter is not here. She bring her to the front. Okay, what can she do that will not make me look at her and hate her? What? And yet, God is better than earthly fathers. What you feel is that you feel because now you have sense to know who to marry, what to eat, what to wear, what not to wear. That you are now a macho. He has tender love towards you. Because at the end of the day, as we get into the depth of this warfare is all about, you're going to discover that the major tool for fight, the major tool of exchange, of fierceness in this battle, is words, belief systems, ideologies. Now, let me ask you a question. if a bandit right now is caught, does God love that bandit? Okay. That's difficult to think because you are still quite hungry. But, alright. Does God love that bandit? Now, look at it. John 3:16 don't say, as God so loves his own children. No. For God so loved. The world. How much more you, blood-bought, redeemed, justified, seated in him, far above all principalities. You don't have time to keep wallowing in the mistakes you made. That you are wallowing in that mistake doesn't mean you are God conscious. You are only proud. It is arrogance is the reason why you feel you are too big to make certain mistakes. Alright? You feel you are too. That's why you wallow and stay. You are mourning it. Obtain the mercy that is in him and keep running that race. If somebody is running the relay race and the baton falls, does he just sit down there and say, you pick it up and continue the race? So what the devil wants you to believe is that you are no longer qualified. He wants everything that will disqualify you from that race. And he's going to try coming through different angles. Okay, let me damage the teeth of religion. Amen. Can we do that? All right. So let me ask you a question. I won't ask you the question, but let's just ask it rhetorically. Now, somebody who has... oh Lord, help me. I cover your heart with the blood of Jesus. Now, do you know the reason why I'm very careful about what I share? When scripture was describing the sower and the seed he was sowing, alright, describe the seed that fell by the wayside. He said, this be like them that heareth not the words, but understandeth them not, then cometh the devil. So when believers are taught, but not brought to the place of understanding, they are made vulnerable to lying spirits that will come and complete it, but also take it to extreme, and then say the things that God is not saying. Now, if you see two people, alright, this person has done. Now, there are natural consequences of everything people do. I put on them saying now. What the mercy of God does is to try to take advantage of that situation and make it work for your good. So, what I'm trying to say is that we talk about mercy, doesn't mean that the same God who loves a person, the fellow, alright, goes to rob and they take the person and kill the person where the fellow is loved. Alright, he's going to die and he's going to die. Alright, the fellow going to go to hellfire. If the fellow did not accept the life of Christ, going to hellfire. Alright, and yet that's somebody that God loved that goes to hell. The blood of Jesus was also shed for him, but he didn't take his own part. So what I'm saying is that God loves you doesn't mean your life can be granted. It is not enough for him to love you, you must accept the love. Are you following what I'm saying here? So if somebody keeps, alright, you keep misbehaving and damaging your life, the pathway to what God wants to do with you, because this is the balance. Alright, and I'm going to show you from scriptures, this is the balance. You keep damaging yourself, the pathway to what God wants to do with your life, you are messing it up, you believe you have a calling, there's grace for your life, despite many things, nothing is happening to you, a lot is happening to you. If care is not taken, at the end of the day, you find out that, alright, God, the mercy of God is still abundant, the voucher you can't exhaust, but your own life can be exhausted. So let me show you scripture. Let's do a lengthy reading so you can see it. Romans chapter number 6. Let's start from verse 6. Romans 6. Let's start from verse 6 quickly. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not what? Serve sin. Alright? That's an instruction. Alright? For he that is dead is freed from sin. Yes? Now, if ye be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Yes. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourself also to be dead indeed to sin. The word reckon there means avail yourself. Don't abandon yourself. Don't say, oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Read your Bible, you won't read. Pray, you won't pray. Say no when you should say, you can't say no. And then I need to spend time. I don't know for who, but I just find out that there's something going on. Alright? And it's something that needs to be talked about. There seems to be a spirit moving. Alright? You see young children, young girls. Everybody just want to dance on TikTok. And then that needs to be addressed. Alright? And maybe some of you Christians, I'm not on TikTok. I've tried to see what's going on there. I didn't know my way, so I just left. You know what I'm saying? But I don't have any personal prejudice towards it. As long as people are there, the gospel must be there. I'm going to find my way back. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, but this thing that once, alright, people, everybody's just shaking their waist and do the stuffs and then following all the threads and all that. That's foolishness. Alright? You've been bought with a price. You've got to do what brings God glory. Don't say we're a woke generation. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Alright, when I go to church, I'm God's righteousness. You are dressed. We are seeing half of your breast outside. And then you say you are righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Is that how Jesus was dressing? You think if you were in the temple the day he was flogging, people were buying and selling. You know, flogging. But what are you selling? Are you following what I'm saying here? Do you understand what I'm saying here? If you dress, your breast is showing, you will know because breeze is blowing it. Are you following? It's breeze. Is it not meat? Is breeze not touching it? No, you will look at me as if I don't. Excuse me, brothers. Is it not meat? Is that there's a parachute that covers? It's meat. Alright? And if breeze touch the flesh of you know. True or not true? If you see that in church, alright, you open your leg, breeze is blowing under. You can feel it. That thing that is not making you close it back, is it that there's lack of training, alright, and you are just absent-minded, you are not really taught. And if you are going to do life well, you've got to understand, paraemo, and do the right things. Are you following what I'm saying here? That you are a generation that understands new Christian reality doesn't mean you are stupid. Do you follow what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Now we are seeing unmarried people, open breasts, bum bum, and then everybody's shaking something. Alright, go and shake the kingdom of darkness, not bum bum. Are you following what I'm saying here? If I catch you push something online, I saw one of my spiritual daughters shaking bum bum. I said, come here. Come. I know I called that to church. You are going to fast till that old thing dries up. Disappears, there's nothing to shake. When you shake it, it's not shaking. Then you. She was fasting and praying here for days. I can do that because I'm a spiritual father. Have you ever seen my wife shaking bum bum anywhere and all that? What are you talking about? Because we're just getting many things. Are you following what I'm saying here? You know, Bejo, sit down, my friend. And learn the Bible. Praise God. I saw one video like that. Somebody went to pad some things that I don't understand. But one fell. because this world is an ungodly place. If we say we are the righteousness of God, we have to, alright, manifest what God intends for this earth to look like by manifesting His kingdom. If you are dressing to kill, you are actually killing somebody. And those are those who are already dying with the spirit of lust. Are you following what I'm saying here? So tell your neighbor, be wise.
Be wise.
Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. I think that being said, I can leave that at that junction. So whether you are going to church, or you are outside, understand that you are the church of the living God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Are you following what I'm saying here? Got to preserve it. Look good, look decent. Alright? You are also not preserving that temple if you are walking about with slippers in your street. Alright? You are the one who is going to fetch water. You say the call of God is upon your life. Was that how Jesus answered the call? Are you following what I'm saying here? Your singlet, everything has turned to brown or milk. It's like they poured urine. Are you following what I'm saying here? You jump about everywhere, you don't look like it. Now you say, sisters don't like you. How would they like you? Praise God. So these are things we need to tell people. Everything about this world can fight you if you don't have sense. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now you are quiet, brothers. You seem to enjoy what I said before. And even sisters too. I don't know whether they tell. Have you seen people fetch water on their street in the morning? It's like somebody said, just look stupid while you are going to fetch water. Do nice things. You are a king. And carry yourself as a king. Why you seem, you don't like what I'm saying? I say carry yourself like a king. If you are the righteousness of God, look right. Don't look left. Look right. So we have to emphasize these two. Because it's like the more people are woke and saying we are the righteousness of God, they are doing things anyhow. Are you following what I'm saying here? I don't want to major on this, but it's also a warfare. If you don't know, your clothes will be ironed. You are fighting a battle you don't know. And when me I read, you have to know. That's the fact. That's the fact. That's the fact. You don't like this gospel. Listen to me. When you saw your future in your dreams and vision, what you saw was a version of you that has gone through all the process and emerged. That sister telling you no. God has shown her husband, but the version was the version that have sense. Yeah. 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 It's true. Is it not true, sisters? Hey. Somebody say, hey. Let's not flog this. Let's just leave it. So we can focus on things that matters. I've seen people lose out on what God even planned for them because they just won't have the basic sense to function in it. You see? As we continue this teaching, because I'm going to teach on spiritual intelligence, I'm going to show you on how not to live any loose ends for the devil to afflict your life with. Is that okay now? But all right, if you don't like, if what I said doesn't look kind, or like it's a kind word and all that, so you must understand that your continuity in it is much more dangerous. All right, let me just continue that Romans 6. Where did we stop? Let's, I can quickly read that then. I need to finish what I have for today. Okay, likewise, reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus our Lord. Yes, quickly, 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, so you can stop it from reigning, that you should obey its laws thereof. Yes? Neither yield your members as instrument of unrighteousness. Don't yield your members as instrument of unrighteousness. Don't yield your laps as instrument of unrighteousness. Don't yield your best as instrument of unrighteousness. Righteousness. Yield. Yeah, what was that thing again? Your bum bum. As instrument of unrighteousness and all that. Which other one again? Edakun. Just do the right things. But understand that when the spirit of lust latch on the brother, alright, even if you wear sack, it's still going to lust. That's why you can see that people can wear hijab. Yeah, somebody's still raping them. You can see a mad woman, somebody's still raping the mad woman. So that thing is a spirit. If it eats well and is filled, a father can sleep with his own daughter. But it has progress. Now, let me say this to you. I told them, they have to upload that message this week. There's a message you must listen to. The title is Don't Eat It. I taught it just a few weeks ago. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, different meals mean different things to different people. You are coming from a place where the pattern is dangerous spirit of immorality and lust. And the level you are now is at the level of pornography. You are going there. Because you are on a very express way. Eventually you will have second wife, either inside or outside. Stop the progress of death. Don't yield. It's a fight for your life. Whether it is known or hidden. Devil doesn't serve random food. It must be something that killed your fathers. Don't eat it. Are you following what I'm saying here? I said, are you following what I'm saying here? There are things you begin to notice in your life. Well, there are symptoms of a level of decline from the knowledge of God. You pray it out and run and shout. A girl is passing from, you just notice the backside, alright? Ah, no, stop, though! It's better you're embarrassed that way. Than for people to now say, sit down, they're asking you, what got you here? I've been around this for a while, and you see where they call people, respected people now, and they call a girl. Now you have messed up this girl. How did you get here? Are you following what I'm saying here? You are stripped of your splendor, of your glory and all that. Now, that glory doesn't mean destiny and all that, but the dignity, the respect, the honor. Now, they are asking you, and you are, talk. And somebody can be saying, if you don't talk now, I slap you. And why the mess? If you have slapped yourself on the face, you have sense. You will not get there. And shout! And say, help me, help me, help me. That arrogance to keep quiet is what will make you eat that meal. Alright? Resist it. Are you following? I showed you the story. Alright? 2 Samuel 17. David, right, saw Bathsheba. He called her. She came, knelt down. Oh, King David, blah, blah, blah. He slept with her. She came back to give him feedback and called him David. It's as simple as that, sir. Stop the process of death from reigning in your life. Alright? Neither yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of unrighteousness to God, of righteousness to God. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, a servant ye are to whom ye obey, but of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servant of sin, but ye have obeyed from your heart, from the heart that, okay, sorry. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being made free from sin, ye became servant of righteousness. That is what you are now. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now you are being conditioned to do what is right. And you have to yield to it. It is not going to automatically work. Meaning that you will notice more freedom to do what is right than what is wrong. Alright, look at Galatians 5 from verse 1. Galatians 5. Now, I don't like to quote this scripture, but to read them so you can see them yourself. Are you following what I'm saying here? And stand. Alright, now look at it. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand in it, sir. Stand in that liberty. Now, let me quickly rush over this so you can, all right, get them. Then as I begin to tie up this conversation, all right, this fight of faith, this what we call the fight, is a very critical one. And I want to show you, all right, reasons why the fight is critical. You have to pay attention to this reason, because if you are going to fight and win at the end of your days, you must know this. Number one, so why is the fight critical? All right. The devil, your adversary, is predominantly in the spirit realm. And you are in the physical. Alright? And put that inverted comma. That doesn't mean you're a physical being all through. But you interact with the physical world. And the spirit controls the physical. He's in the spirit, you are in the physical, you are in the visible material world. But the spirit controls the physical world. So you have to master how to live in the spirit, because that's where you have your advantage, because all your supplies of strength and supplies of victory are also in that realm. So you've got to master how to live in the spirit, how to walk in the spirit. If you walk and live in the physical realm, you'll be defeated again and again. The moment you begin to, all right, live all your life in the physical realm, your defeat will be consistent. Number two, the strategic battleground chosen for this fight is your soul. All right, the strategic battleground chosen for this fight is your soul. That's the seat of your will, emotions, your intellect. If this is the battleground, pleasure cannot be your friend. Alright. If this is the battleground, pleasure cannot be your friend. You have to live the life that you have in Christ, the spiritual life. The enemy will attempt to manipulate your emotions against the plan of God for your life. Number three, this is a battle for your soul. What he's contesting for is your soul. He wants to snatch it. If you don't cooperate with God, now the moment you are not cooperating with God, the threefold assignment of the devil will be fulfilled in your life. If you don't cooperate with God, all right, something very important in your life will be stolen, and that's the essence. All right, the fellow will be killed and then destroyed. So the moment a man is not cooperating with God, he's already on this process. First is the fact that something will be stolen. Second is the fact that the fellow will be killed. Then third is the fact that the fellow will be destroyed. Now, understand that these three things can happen when the fellow is still breathing. All right? So get that. The devil likes to kill people and leave them alive. If there's anything that describes the way he loves to kill, is to look at beans. All right? I've given you that instance before, the beans. There's something that attacks it, the beans weevil. All right? Good. Should I use the word the vegetative part now? The part that grows when you, all right, plant that seed, then leaves the beans. Are you following what I'm saying here? After eating that part, if you bury it in the head that you want to plant beans, you're just putting carcass there. The part that can reproduce is gone. So in Exodus 1, when Herod heard the intention of the devil, he said, let's kill the males and let's leave the girl alive. He's still doing the same thing to the boat. Because when you leave the girl alive and you leave dead boys to marry them, their seed will be dead. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, listen to me. There are places that if the devil should cause anybody to die, what will happen there is revival. So you'll find a way to kill them on their feet. Then they can fall down physically at once. Amen. Alright, so don't look at physical things first. A lot of things can happen in the spirit realm when nothing seems to be interrupting the physical. So you've got to be present in the spirit. You've got to be present. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, Paul with his companions went to preach somewhere. A girl began to sing their praise and said, these are they which have come with the word of life and all that. But if you look at what that girl was saying from the physical standpoint, it was the truth. It seemed to be making sense. Are you following what I'm saying here? Alright, but he rebuked her and rebuked the spirit from her. Alright, because he was more conscious in the spirit realm than he was in the physical. Are you following what I'm saying here? The same thing with Jesus. Those demons began to say, oh, this is the Son of God. And the announcement should not come from you. And he rebuked them. Are you following what I'm saying now? There are times people are hyping you and praising you, and what you feel is deep sense of grief from within. They might be praising you to your death, and stop them right there. Are you following what I'm saying here? Good. So, for a man that is in the spirit, things have different communication. Alright? Listen, if you are not walking this walk of faith, you are privileged to be blessed with people who are walking it by the grace of God and are living that life. When they warn you, obey. Everything can look right, even to you in your mind, and they say something is wrong with you. Humble yourself and go and ask God. Are you following what I'm saying here? There are times I look at people and I say, oh boy, separate yourself. Something is happening. This. You go and do that. Alright? And then, that's why, the moment arrogance is attained in your life, the chance that you will recover from corrections is slim. Because you will not heal. Where do I start from? Do you get what I'm saying? You won't be able to heal. There are things you can't know about God just by the things I'm teaching. He has to break you and pass you through certain process. Then that revelation begins to show up. The ink that rises on your heart sometimes is pain. It circumcises you. The fasting is realities there. Then you become thoroughly furnished. So let patience have a perfect work in you. So you can be whole. You can be entire. Then wanting nothing. These are realities that create things in people that are just reading novels. Are you following what I'm telling you here? Alright? So, what we are discussing is a very, very crucial matter. Very crucial matter. I shared a story, a finished service, alright, years ago. Was greeting people and welcoming them to church. So good to have you today. Right? So good to have you in church. And I shook the hands of a young man. And as I shook his hand, I felt disdain, like disgust, something from within. I asked him, where were you coming from before you came to church? Right? God's so good, he's a very humble man. He just broke down and then ran to the altar and cried and cried and cried. And I asked him and all that. He's just gone to a girl, they slept with each other, and then from there he came to church and all that. If that is the flow of your life and there seems never to be a revelation about it, what you are enjoying is not mercy, it's judgment. Judgment is when the presence of sin have its free course until finally your life is finished. Are you following what I'm saying here? If it is God, if you are really, really enjoying this form of mercy that preserves people, others will do it and go, you will be exposed. So don't be like Saul that says, just hide me now, let's just do right before these people. Let me just look perfect here. Be like David that will rent his clothes, do a king, and humble himself before God. Where you are going is very far. And let me say this to you. Are you aware, compared to everyone alive, there are very few people you see that finish well? Ah, okay. Let's leave that. Maybe you've not taken time to count the cost. Particularly those of you who are called to ministry. What happened to many on the wayside? Any lesson not learned in this school and in this journey becomes a major snare for the devil to bring people down. Alright? Number four now. The fellow you are fighting is experienced. The fellow you are fighting is experienced. The devil is not your mate. He's experienced. Alright? He's experienced. So when you don't walk side by side with Jesus, you will fall, you will become a victim of your own presumptions. He's very experienced. The moment you begin to feel you can, you know the way, you know this, you that. Alright, you are going to be exactly where he wants you to be. He knows how to guide you and pamper you and package you till you enter into a trap. Are you following what I'm saying then? And that's why I want to tell you that the local church is a miracle in the last days. And you have to embrace your local church. Alright, any sheep that walks in isolation becomes a prey for the lion. So that's why God set the solitary in families. Peter speaking says that the devil, we still have a beginning for the devil, your adversary, roams about like a wounded lion looking for whom to what? Alright, to devour. No believer who gets offended somewhere and say, I want to know Jesus by myself, knows him. They all fall outside him. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's why you notice that sometimes this thing people look as random. It is at the point of major breakthrough. You begin to see major signs. Somebody getting angry and spoiling his greatest day. Somebody, give me other examples now. You watch the Oscar and all that, Abby. Somebody's at the peak of his career and all that. That's when something, why didn't those things happen before they enter into that hall? And all that. So he wants shame and glory to come side by side. If he can't stop the glory, mess it up. So don't fall victim of presumption. The fellow you are fighting is experienced. So if he's experienced, it means the timing is not innocent. The method is not innocent. You have to understand the timing. Sometimes you want something when you are 35, but it starts when you are 17. So that you would have lost all your guards, become a lifestyle. By the time you get to that age, it beats your hands down. Alright? Sometimes you notice in a family, the father became a victim of this at this age. Alright, the grandfather at that age. Let me round up with this so I can. In case you feel this is a joke, then hear this one. All right. Recently, somebody passed on. I just sat down. I watched one of the interview of the fellow at the fellow granted TVC. And the fellow described a very serious situation of how that the mother died, the sister died, different people died in the family, and they were dying and were dying. All right. And she said she thought she was the next until the daughter now died. Then the woman now finally died. So sometimes you can see flow of evil coming from the back and coming and coming and coming. All right. And each and everyone sees it coming. They have presumptions in their hearts. That maybe when it gets to me, I'm so special, I'm not, nothing's going to happen and all that. And their hands are tied. How come people see death coming, their hands are tied, they can't fight it off, they can't pray against it? Prayerlessness is not just then, it's been going on for a long time. So by the day of evil, you are too weak for long, there's nothing you can do against it. So every time the devil stops the flow of life, he's packaging you for the flow of death. You've got to rise up. You've got to fight. It is not a joke. It is a battle for your life. I had the vision and I saw one of my boys and I said, I just called him and I just prayed for him. I didn't say what I saw. And I had the vision Saturday night. Amazingly, God showed me many times about people. All right? Because we prayed for them. And I saw a demon whispering to his ears. And I saw 3 months after that, not a Christian again, wearing all sorts of things, smoking and all that. And I had to call him, lay hands on him, and command the devil, take your hands off this one. If in the process of laying hands on him, all right, he says, you can't lay hands on me, this, you have no jurisdiction over us, all right. I have to now go through a longer route, intercede from afar. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right. Or that particular day, that's the day he says he can't come. Let him just watch from home. So the timing is a very serious matter. When Gehazi went to take what he should not take, the only thing that pained Elisha is this the time? When Saul went to offer the sacrifice, he pained Samuel. You are not a man of the spirit. Today, God will have established your kingdom forever. But this same today, you have messed up. So what the devil is prepping you for, it can take all your life to prep you for one day. Are you following what I'm saying? Can I lead you to pray? It's past time, but can I lead you to pray? Let me give you this prayer for 2 minutes. I believe you should jump on your feet now. Lift your hands to heaven. See. Don't pray this prayer with pride. Don't pray it with arrogance. Say, Father. Call him again, Father. Tonight, come to my rescue and stop all the process of destruction and death that the devil has started in my life and my journey. Lord, help me. Now pray like your life depends on it. This is not the way I expect you to pray. If you want to go on your face, you know them. Mention them. Mention them. Mention them. Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now please look up. Be on your feet, everybody. Alright? Scripture says that there's a way that seems right unto man. but the end of it is death and destruction. There are ways that seems right, there are ways that are right. The judgment is that don't be wise in your own consent. Is that okay? You are fighting an arch enemy that is older than you and more experienced than your fathers. He fought them and he knows the way into your bloodline. Are you following what I'm saying here? There are things that God will seek to seal early. And the idea of sealing them is that even if the enemy seem to have a field day later, you shouldn't fall below certain level. Now, let me explain. Oh, Lord, help me. For time, sir, for instance, if a man marries a woman outside, all right, out of his lust, are you following what I'm saying now? All right, and ignore virtues of godliness and all that and all that, and then marry somebody who will finish his life. God gives you a good wife so that, I mean, if you fall, if something happens, he's not expecting you to fall, but if something happens, this somebody he has prepared, furnished for himself, that you shouldn't go down below that level. But if you follow after your own lust, that thing God gives as a pedestal, that you shouldn't go below it. Now you've gotten something else below you. Are you following what I'm saying here? These are where people, sometimes God said pull in spiritual families, that this thing is that is the pattern, the danger that has destroyed people in your bloodline. But this is what this family even stands against and prohibit. As long as you are there, there's grace here to make sure you are managed, cultured, helped. You can't dance up. And the devil fight that major thing that is God's rescue boat. That's what he's going to go against. He's going to make you misunderstand many things. We are talking about warfare here. It is not what you think it is. So there are people in your life that will do things that will hurt you. I say, I choose never to be hurt. I know I'm here. And I'm telling you fact. You have issue with your wife, the devil is telling you this is not the kind of matter that can finish. You've got to start having plans for something else. It's trying to finish you up somewhere. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you have to wake up and start winning. Because every ground you lose to the devil, you have to fight to get it back. But I decree and declare, Jesus speaking to Peter said, the devil has desired to have you, but I prayed for you. I pray for all of you, and I decree and declare, if there's anything the devil has done or is doing to mark men and destroy them in your bloodline, you are exempted in the name of Jesus. Amen. I say again, you are divinely exempted. Amen. You are kept. Amen. You are preserved. Amen. You are helped. I decree and declare over you, you will not make the mistakes of your fathers. You will not eat the fruit that destroyed the lineage. You will not disappoint the expectations of God. You will finish well. You will finish well. In all the ways the devil is coming with subtlety to finish God's plan for your life and attack it and bring it down, you will emerge strong. You will not become victim of presumptions. You will be a winning Christian. For all who have given up in their hearts and just try to become little or part. Now I decree that strength, courage, and the spirit of faith is restored back to you. And it begins to occur to you, alright, that you have victory in Christ. I ask and I decree that strength not to turn back, you have it. All those that the devil is prepping their hearts for sickness and bringing the thought of it, prepping their heart for disasters, prepping their heart for death, bringing ideologies as tools, day and night, trying to wear you down. I decree and declare, all those imagination thoughts and counsels, they are brought to the obedience of Christ. You will finish well. You will serve God. Your life will be a flow of righteousness. It will be a flow of His will and a flow of His glory. Your life will exemplify what it means to live. In the name of Jesus, I decree you are blessed and you have the fire of the Holy Ghost. Never again will you lose in the secret place. Receive back the strength of prayer. Receive back the strength to study. You will no longer be defeated in the secret place. The door back is open in the name of Jesus. And I decree that you are helped. All the things that your destiny requires that the devil has made sure you are not doing, receive strength to go back to doing them. You will not fight unnecessary battles. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Now give the Lord a big, big hand. Come on, do so well. Now the devil hates the fact that you are knowing what you are knowing. So if Jesus is pumping them there, then celebrate him. Hallelujah.
The blessings in the word resides with one who is both a hearer and a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word.
For mentorship, leadership, and counseling, kindly reach us on this number, 090-30-959735.
This message was sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME.
To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of this account details. Account number 221-500-5289. Femi Lazarus Ministries.